Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the book, and above all the parchment. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will requite him for his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one took my part. All deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that the message might be fully proclaimed to me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Permit me to paint three scenes for you. You are in a pastoral conference sitting toward the back. The essayist is speaking on some exegetical or theological point. You look around the room and you see a varied reaction. Some men over there are paying attention earnestly and taking notes. Some men in front of you have their briefcases open to hide the fact that they're opening their mail. Other men over here have the nod, using the opportunity to catch a few minutes of sleep. The essayist is over. The moderator stands up and announces that there will be a 15-minute coffee break. The crowds rush out to the hall, and as you mingle among the crowds, you overhear their conversation. Some are speaking about sports, some are talking about the weather, some are talking about their family. Very few are talking about the essayist. The scene shifts. You are now in the study of a pastor on Saturday night. He had procrastinated on working on his sermon all week, and so now had to quick write his sermon. He wanted to watch a movie on TV that night, so he had to hurry. He opens up his English Bible, he reads the text, jots down a few thoughts that come to his mind, and then he's finished in a half hour. Earlier in his ministry, this was only done on occasion, but of late, it had become a regular habit. And his people could tell. They could see that he kept harping on the same things in his sermons, and that his sermons were mostly lost. The scene shifts a third time. You are now in the pews of a congregation during a sermon. The pastor is giving a terrific sermon, very powerful, edifying, uplifting. After the service, you follow out the aisle with the people and you overhear their conversation. Again, they're talking about the weather and sports, but very few are reflecting on the sermon. You go to the Bible class, and again, the pastor presents a very powerful, solid, theologically strong Bible class, but alas, only five people are there. Theology is not exactly the most popular subject in society. Technology and business seem to have center stage. Even within Christendom, theology is not the queen. At many of the other mainline denominational seminaries, many people are more interested in sociology, psychology, and political science than they are in theology and the Bible. Even within our own churches, one gets the impression that some of the laity and the clergy are not very excited about growing in the Word. Sometimes even at the seminary, seminarians seem sometimes to be apathetic. But contrast the attitude of St. Paul in our text. The year was probably about 64 A.D. He was in prison in Rome, where he had been for some time. And St. Paul was close to death. He knew that his ministry was about over. As he tells us in verse 6, "For I am already on the point of being sacrificed. The time of my departure has come." And St. Paul was a very poor man. He wasn't worried about a three-week vacation. He did not even have a winter coat. But what is the one thing that he wants above all else? He wants his theology book. Bring me the book and the parchment. wants to study his membranae, which probably refers to his notebook, in which he kept the notes of his studies from the past and in which he would take further notes. And he wanted the book, especially his Old Testament Bible. If there was ever a man who had the right to wing it, who had the right to just whip something off, it was St. Paul. Humanly speaking, he was a brilliant theologian. All his life he had studied the Word intensely. Did he really need to grow in his understanding of the Word at this late date? And yet he says to Timothy, bring me the book and the parchment. But why? Why is it so important to have the books and the parchment? He answers that question in chapter 3. The sacred writings are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's why. That was the most important thing in his life, to be wise unto salvation. In fact, he uses the root of that word salvation 5 times in this epistle. He wants to study the scroll of Jeremiah, for instance, so that he can grow in his understanding and love for Jesus Christ, who died and rose for him, whose righteousness was imputed to him. He wants to study so that he can grow in his faith and his understanding of the gospel of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not in virtue of our works, but in virtue of his own purpose, and the grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus ages ago, and now has manifested through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, as he tells us in chapter 1. He wants to study so that he can grow in his thankfulness for his baptism, to which he alludes in chapter 2. The saying is here, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. He wants to grow in his hope in Christ, who will come again, and who will give him the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, as he tells us in chapter 4. He wants to study so that he can be wise unto salvation, through faith in the Lord, who will rescue me from every evil and save me for his heavenly kingdom. He wants to study the inscripturated word so that he can grow in his love for the incarnate word. The incarnate word who hung on the cross on his behalf. And so he tells Timothy, bring me the book and the parchment. And he wants to study so that he can proclaim fully and faithfully the word to all nations, so that the message, the charisma, might be fully proclaimed through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear it. He knew what he was up against. The forces of darkness were very powerful and very persuasive, and so he needed to study. He needed to study the scroll and the parchment. The same applies to you in the 1980s. The same Old Testament which Paul studied and the same New Testament which he helped to write are God-breathed and very profitable for you too. They are God-breathed and able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So study in order to grow in your faith in Christ Jesus, who gave you his righteousness and took upon himself your sins and nailed them to the cross. Study that you might grow, and study so that you might fully proclaim the word to all nations. The forces of darkness that the church confronts today are no less than the forces of darkness which Jeremiah confronted, which the Apostle Paul confronted, which Luther confronted. As Jesus himself tells us in the gospel, I sent you out as sheep among the wolves. It takes a great deal of study in order to be prepared to proclaim the word faithfully to the nations. So we say with St. Paul, bring me the book and the parchment. Here at Concordia Seminary, you have a great privilege. You have the privilege of preparing for the pastoral ministry. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to study the Old and New Testament in depth in the original. There are people who would love to have the skill and opportunity to study Jeremiah or 2 Timothy in the original. And it's a wonderful privilege that you have to study systematic theology, to stand on the shoulders of the church's great dogmaticians, the tendencies and the people. It's a wonderful privilege that you have to study historical theology, to see how the church throughout the ages faced issues that the church still must face. And it's a wonderful privilege that you have to study pastoral theology, to learn how to apply your theology to the common man in your sermons, in your Bible classes, in your hospital calls, your evangelism calls, your home visitations, your counseling, and all the other arenas of your ministry. It's a wonderful privilege. It's one to thank God for, and it's one in which we should use our time wisely. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Bring me the book and the parchment. Amen. Now may the grace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.